Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to Between Pages and Friends, a book club podcast hosted by Con and Lauren, two besties who read a lot of books, and John and Kyle, their five-star husbands who read fantasy books with them. I'm Kyle.
I'm Lauren.
I'm John.
And I'm Con. Today we are joined by one of our favorite people on the internet, the incredibly gifted and talented Lauren Moore from Book Huddle. One of the many reasons we love Lauren so much is for her top-tier book recommendations for any situation. We are all about to head into a giant book hangover after reading Brimstone, so Lauren is here today to prepare us for what to read after. Get your TBR ready because it's about to be stacked with some of the best book hangover cures.
Lauren is the founder of Book Huddle, a community of 460,000 plus readers with events and resources for book lovers. She hosts the dreamiest reading retreats that sell out in literal minutes, and she's been featured in the Toronto Star, the Washington Post, BuzzFeed, Swoon, and the Wall Street Journal. Prior to Book Huddle, she spearheaded the content strategy and creative direction for over 350 brands from more than 30 countries.
Before we jump into all the great book recs, just a few quick things. This interview will be spoiler-free, so no worries if you haven't read any of the recommended books. This should be a safe space for you to collect your next favorite read, not get it spoiled. If you don't like spoilers in general, well, this is the podcast for you. We're a spoiler-free space to discuss our favorite reads in the podcast. Our typical setup is that two of us are rereaders and two of us are first-time readers, giving you the chance to read along through the eyes of a first-time reader or be the first-time reader and have a group to discuss it with. However, for Brimstone by Callie Hart, all four of us are going to be first-time readers for the very first time on the podcast. We are so excited and can't wait to share all with you starting next week.
And if you enjoy this episode and want to hang out with us more, we'd love to have you join us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can be part of our Book Bestie tier, which gives you access to our private Discord channel filled with the best people on the internet, and hop into live monthly book club chats. Or upgrade to the $10 Found Family tier for exclusive perks like merch discounts, early ad-free access to episodes, and behind-the-scenes content. We'd also like to invite you to meet us in person at A Sorcerer's Affair in April in Kansas City. We will be hosting the VIP experience before the ball, then we'll be there to dance all night long with you. Tickets go on sale now at bookishloreeventskc.com. Don't forget to use code FRIENDS15 for $15 off your ticket.
Long.
That was great. I don't know why that was so
funny. All night. Long. With you.
All right. After this episode, please don't forget to write a review on Audible or Apple Podcasts, leave a star rating on Spotify, or subscribe on YouTube. This is the best way to support and help more listeners discover this podcast. You might even get a shout out like this one, a recent 5-star review on Apple Podcasts from our new bestie, Mrs. Toga, titled Book Besties.
Toga. Toga, toga, toga. Sorry.
Mrs. Toga says, I came for Team Resand, stayed for Throne of Glass, Empyrean, and Quicksilver, and can't wait for When the Moon Hatch. My husband is currently listening to the Throne of Glass episodes, and he loves my book besties too, but he better because I'm stuck on them for life. Thanks for the laughs and tears and gasps and emojis. Keep sharing the joy. Star eyes emoji. Oh, nice. Mrs. Toga.
Mrs. Toga. Mr. Toga. And hi, Mr. Toga.
Send our regards to Mr. Toga.
Okay, everyone. Get your Goodreads pen and notebook or your notes app on your phone ready. Something, because we are jumping into all the best book recs with Lauren from Book Huddle.
Yay!
That was so perfectly timed. Good job, guys. Lauren, welcome to Between Pages and Friends. We're so excited you're here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. This is a dream come true. I feel like we've been Instagram friends for like a year.
So long.
Yeah. It's great. It's so awesome to be connected. Yeah.
It's so fun. I love this too. We have been dying to talk books with you because you always have the best recommendations. We have seen your posts about everything from dark fantasy to cozy romance, and somehow you always know exactly what people need to read next.
Plus, we can't wait to chat about your journey with your business, Book Huddle, reading retreats, the amazing community that you've built online, where you're going next, of course, and your own writing process for the book that you're working on, your own book, which, by the way, sharing the beta reviews on Instagram is incredible. They're so much fun and exciting way to share like what you're working on. They've been really, really cool to read.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That really means everything.
Yeah, it's really so cool. Exciting.
But before we dive into all that, we'd love to start out by having you just sort of introduce yourself and share your story with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Lauren. I'm the founder of Book Huddle. We are a community of 460,000 avid readers from around the world. I would say that Book Huddle is best known for our book recommendations, always helping people know kind of what big book to read next. But we also do reading retreats to help avid readers find new books and new friends. And we also have a virtual book club called Book Huddle Club, which is my pride and joy.
That's so fun. Well, I'm so excited that you're here. We would love to know, what did your day-to-day look like in the early days of Book Huddle? And then how has it evolved since then?
Wow, that's quite, I don't know why that question was like, it's hard for me to answer. You know, in the early days of Book Huddle, I had no idea that Book Huddle was going to end up becoming my full-time job. So my title was a content strategist, and I did that for over 10 years, helping other people and companies build online brands and online businesses. And it was really cool because writing was a really big part of that. So I would help and work with people to understand their business goals and help them figure out their tone of voice and their content strategy and what they'd post on their website and their blogs and all of that stuff to ultimately take their businesses and grow them in a way that aligned with the type of life that they wanted to lead. And it was really fun and really fulfilling. And I was always behind the scenes. I was way too shy to be in front of a camera. I was like always thinking to myself, like, who would want to hear what I have to say? I was always much more comfortable helping other people find confidence because I could see it so clearly in clients that I worked with, but I could never see it in myself, which is really sad, honestly. And so I started getting a lot of questions about TikTok in 2022. And I had been familiar with how to grow on different social media platforms and how to optimize websites and all that stuff from my previous corporate jobs. But I didn't know how to grow a TikTok account because it was pretty new and I just hadn't done that yet. So I, like any curious person, I was like, I'm going to see what's going on here and see if it's more than dancing because I don't really understand why my clients are asking about this. And I made an account and I was just, you know, for a few months a passive observer and quickly like fell into the algorithmic hole and really, really loved it. And a friend of mine was actually like, you know, if you love TikTok so much, why don't you start posting to it? And the cool thing about TikTok is it felt very anonymous. And that's kind of what I like about it is like, you know, your parents aren't really me. They're not. Mine aren't on it. And it feels like it's more for the community on TikTok and not necessarily for friends and family. So yes. I created a post. And of course, one of my friends messaged me within 10 seconds and was like, you posted? So I guess that that experiment didn't go so well, but I decided that I wanted to post about books. I have an English degree. I've always been a really avid reader. Books are my greatest passion. I never thought that I would have a career in this field, but I thought that the book talk community was really cool. And I just wanted to, you know, get involved with it and figure out how to grow so that I could better advise my clients. And then ultimately, Book Huddle really took off. I still don't really understand why or how, but I sort of made made a promise to myself when I started posting that I was going to post twice a day, no matter what. And it forced me to figure out how to create content quickly, like in 5 minutes or less per post, and how to really get to the heart of what it was that I was trying to say. And ultimately, by not giving myself space to overthink, it helped me figure out my voice and show up as my authentic self and figure out what worked and what didn't work pretty quickly. And then in about April 2023, I'd been posting on TikTok for about 9 months or so. I was like, I have to stick to this two-a-day rule. What am I going to post today? And I posted an idea for a reading retreat where I described it as we would go to a beautiful destination filled with nature. We'd read a book for the weekend. We'd eat good food and drink wine and go to bed by 9 p.m. or something like that. And I never expected for it to go viral because I would probably have worn makeup or something before.
Those are always the posts.
I know. It's always like if you're looking like crap, then it's gonna like be shown to freaking everyone. But anyway, so it started taking off, and within, I would say, minutes of posting, people started commenting, being like, oh my God, I want this. Like, can you do this? Can I give you my credit card? And I was like, what? I guess people really want this. So I created this survey that was really extensive that people could fill in with all these questions about where they're from and what they wanted and how long it would be and stuff like that. And they could, like, they basically told me what they wanted. And then I looked at the data and, you know, put something together, and flash forward to today, we've done 14 reading retreats in 2 years, and
that's awesome.
For almost 800 spots.
It's been so crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely bananas. And I officially like gave notice to my main client and to my other clients just over a year ago. And so I've been doing this full time for a year, and it still feels new. Every day I wake up wondering if I've hallucinated. Quit my job for something that isn't real. It still has not sunk in yet, but I'm very, very grateful for it and having an amazing time.
That's awesome. I love that so much. So was there a time, like, before you were able to quit your job, was there a time that it was like crazy long days and nights? Like, how has that compared to, do you feel like you have a regular routine now?
I've always been what I'd like to call a multi-hyphenate. So even when I have a day job, I've always liked having projects or things on the side. Working is one of my greatest joys in life. I really, really love it. So when I started doing Book Huddle, to answer your question that I realized I didn't answer before, my apologies, I would be working on client stuff pretty early, like from 7 a.m. until about 4 or 5 p.m. And then I would be working on Book Huddle kind of on my lunch break and after, and on weekends. So it was pretty long hours. And now I try really hard to give myself a bit more off time, because rest is important, as we all know. But the challenge is that I really like what I do, and now reading is kind of work. So it's sort of this like interesting gray area that, to be honest, I'm still trying to figure out. So am I, in air quotes for people who are listening, working every day? Yeah, I am. I'm in my Book Huddle Club Discord. I'm choosing the book picks that we're going to be doing for Book Huddle Club. I'm reading the books. I'm taking notes. I'm organizing things for reading retreats. But it doesn't feel like work. I like to often say that, like, I'm my own boss and my boss is crazy. So, like, so it, like, all really works out well in a way. Nice. Sorry, it's been a long day.
Much. That's the best.
John's going to be like, this has got to go. I think we'll have like one sentence from that whole thing.
No, that's staying in there.
I love this.
But to be quite candid, I do work hard. I do work hard and I do work long hours. And I'm the type of person to always be focusing on what needs to be done to kind of move things forward. And I'm not sure if all of you have found this, but in the world of social media, it can be somewhat intoxicating to always be kind of like chasing that next posts that's doing well. And so I try to kind of keep myself in check and tell myself like, okay, I posted once today and I'm feeling pretty tired and that post didn't do that well, but that's okay. I'm going to go again tomorrow instead of like grinding myself into the ground to churn out another one.
Yes. Lessons hard learned for sure.
Yeah.
So with this incredible community that you've built, when you think about the people who show up for your content, for Book Huddle Club, for your retreats, what do you hope that they feel as a member of your community?
Inclusion is our number one value. I really, really feel like in today's day and age, people feel isolated, and often introverts feel really isolated out of like necessity, but also I think out of circumstance. And so what I really hope is that people feel like they are in a place where they are free to be themselves as long as they deliver their unique opinions in a respectful way, and they can trust knowing that they will also hear other people's opinions and they can respond to those opinions respectfully. I think that books are a really incredible way for us to experience life in someone else's shoes and to really exercise our, you know, compassion and our empathy for others. And it can often be a really great jumping point to learn about other people's experiences. And so this is probably so annoying for my book club members, but I do it anyway. At the start of every single huddle that we have, and we'll have at least 4 featured books per month, so this happens at least 4 times a month, I go through our values and our expectations of conduct to be conscious of the words that you're using, to know that you can absolutely have different opinions and that's okay. Just, you know, be conscious of how you're delivering those opinions. And it really leads to this like beautiful place where people feel a sense of like safety, where they know that they're not going to be like canceled for sharing their opinion, even if it's a little controversial, as long as they're like nice and respectful about it. So that's my hope, is that people feel safe, that they feel excited, that they feel positive. And just one other thing that I try really hard to do is I will only recommend books that I personally really like. That's very important to me. I don't really think of myself as someone who reviews books, because reviewing, I think, also requires critique. And like, who am I to say what makes a book good or not? Let's be honest. So instead, I prefer to focus on books that really, you know, made my heart sing and that made me really excited or made me think about the world in a different way. And I feel like starting from that place of positivity helps the community feel a bit more excited and positive as a result.
Yeah, really absolutely. Cool.
I think it segues nicely into the next question, because I have to imagine that community is probably a big driving force of like what you do. Then that's, you kind of alluded to that in your answer, but tell us about your vision for the future of Book Huddle.
You know, it's very interesting because historically, I've always been somewhat of an overachiever. Like in high school, I would get straight A's. I was student council president for 2 years in a row. Like I was like Tracy Flick in Election without being evil. Like I was very, very ambitious and more of an overachiever. And so setting goals has always been really, it's come very, very naturally to me. And for kind of the first time in my life, I've realized that sometimes there's value in just absorbing the present moment and looking at the indicators that things are going well instead of trying to like force a certain future into place. There's one client that I worked with for many years who is an executive coach, and she used to always tell her own clients that success leaves clues, which I think is a really cool way of just looking at the world. And so instead of trying to, again, like force a future, force a certain direction, I've instead been trying to look at those indicators of success that are happening really naturally, and also trying to listen to the things that are bringing me joy personally instead of looking at numbers in a spreadsheet. So in terms of my overarching goals, I know this maybe is kind of a half answer, but from my perspective, I want to continue to create a community where people feel welcomed, and I want to be known as kind of Book Huddle being the place to get book recommendations online. I've got a new website in progress. I'm going to be writing more articles, and I really, really hope to become a destination for good book recommendations. Yeah. But then on kind of more of, I guess, a qualitative side, I want to have a life that I really love, which I know is like maybe a little silly, but I want to like continue waking up every day and feeling immense joy for what I'm doing. I want to be prioritizing reading and writing. And I think, again, it can be, I found that this year I've actually been reading less than ever because I've been focusing so much on the operational side of our business and retreats. And I'm hoping actually in the future to figure out how to get more back to the books and book recommendations, because that's really the lifeblood of Book Huddle.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That balance is so tough too, especially as you're growing.
Yeah. It can be. Yeah, it can.
You
like
can't
even
read books
because
you're posting about books.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that all of you have probably found this as well with your podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like you have your day job and then you've got your podcast on the side. And I don't know what your goals for this are, but it can feel like with every passing minute, you're losing an opportunity to like achieve those goals. At least that's what I've personally found. But I've also just kind of adopted a mindset that I really believe that people can sense when you're passionate about something online in particular, and that passion can be infectious. And so as long as you're really enjoying what you're doing, I do believe that ultimately it will help get you to where you're bound to be going anyway.
So follow up to that. So you said success leaves clues. So is there maybe one that stands out that you've noticed recently, or maybe it has been an ongoing clue that you've just kind of kept building on?
Yeah, that's such a great question. There are three clues that have come up in the past few months that I'll share with you. And I haven't shared these with anyone actually. So I guess breaking news.
Come on.
No, it's so boring. The first clue is actually related to my book, which I know we'll get into later. Yeah. But something that I'm just so pleased by is writing this book was truly one of the like greatest joys of my life. Like it was the most creatively fulfilling thing I've ever done. And I loved every single second of it, even if the seconds were, you know, really long and really difficult. I still loved it. And so my beta readers, we had 30 of them. And one of those kind of clues is that the book got a 4.4 out of 5 average from the 30 beta readers, which is awesome. So that's like, that's a really cool clue. That's like great. I was like thrilled, and I've made it even better with their feedback. So that was one clue. The other clue is kind of similar to almost what you're doing with your podcast, but with Book Huddle Club, we've recently been asking authors to come join us for Q&As. And I don't know how this has happened, but we've gotten some pretty amazing authors to come join us, like New York Times bestselling authors. And I don't know if it's like this when you've had people like Sarah A. Parker and stuff on your podcast, but it's like I'm just pinching myself being like, why are you here? Like, how did why did you say yes to this?
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the third one, I think, and this is sort of what's making me think that I need to really start prioritizing reading like more than ever and get back to, again, that lifeblood of Book Huddle, is quite recently I did this post that was, it was like a summary post of 9 must read new books or something like that. And y'all, I got like almost 7,000 new followers from it.
Whoa.
Holy cow.
That's awesome. Holy cow.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but like, and I know, and that doesn't, just to be clear, like that does not, this does not happen. This is not normal.
No, this is not normal.
Not normal at all. Not normal for me. Like I was like, what? I kept looking at the analytics being like, is this like, is Mark Zuckerberg pranking me? Like what's going on here?
Especially I feel like on Instagram too. Like,
he's like, maybe you need to get off TikTok or something.
But
crazy. And so to me, like that clue again, is that people are craving book recommendations and specifically new book recommendations. Mm-hmm. So that's a little, that's the third clue that I observed.
Nice. Those are great. Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting.
Well, speaking of your book that you're writing. You have been sharing some amazing behind the scenes info throughout your journey becoming an author this year. And like we said, it's been fun to watch and cheer you from the sidelines. So what have been some of the most rewarding or maybe most challenging parts of writing a book so far?
Oh boy. So the hardest part for me to accept is that, for me at least, in my very, very limited experience, writing a book takes a frickin' long time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people know this, but I actually started working on this book before I even sold my first reading retreat. And before I had an Instagram account for Book Huddle, like I started working on this book in early 2023. It's been a long time coming. And for me, I found that with especially like a fantasy book where you can write about literally anything, like the sky's the limit. You want the sky to be purple? Go for it. You want like you want flying cats? Great. Like there's when something is limitless, it took me a really long time to hone in on what I wanted to say. And so I didn't realize that it would actually take me well over a year and a half to even outline the thing. And because my previous job had a lot of writing involved in it, and as mentioned, like I did an English degree, I wrote for my school newspaper. When I started out in my career, like I wanted to be a writer. So I was doing a lot of freelance articles and freelance reporting and stuff. And so writing has always come very, very naturally to me, not in the creative sense, but I'm a fast and I'm a proficient writer. That's my comfort zone. But plotting is a totally different beast. Like, very different. And I know that some people are plotters and some people are pantsers. Right. Have you heard of these terms before?
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And so I decided that I needed to be a plotter because a lot of my favorite books are plotted quite tightly and aren't as exploratory. And I also just needed a map to know where I was going to go. So that, I think, was honestly the hardest part for me, was figuring out how to make concrete decisions when literally anything is possible. Have any of you thought of writing a book, by the way?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Kyle. there were two yes and two, was that two yeses and two no's?
Pretty
I'm
much.
The supportive wife of my husband who is trying to write a fantasy novel.
You are, Kyle.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Barely right now.
Yeah, it takes
like you
a
said
long
with
time.
And you said like the full-time job in the podcast, it's hard time parenting as well, just time to
of
sit
course.
Down and write. So
yeah,
but I think I am also a plotter, which also makes that harder because I have to have like time to set aside to do the plotting.
Yeah. However, I will say though, I don't know if you found this, Kyle, but learning about story structure, I think, has made me a much better reader.
Makes sense.
I don't know if any of you do this, but I've become pretty brutal, pretty ruthless at slamming the book shut and DNFing if it's not resonating with me.
Yeah.
And because of what I've learned about story structure, now it's because I know that we've hit these certain beats and the story isn't connecting with me. Yeah. So I'm out. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that I'm like poo-pooing on the book or anything. It's just not for me. So I'm going to move on to something else. But it's been pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's so freeing.
I'm not a book slamming DNFer, but if I'm reading a book and like a couple weeks later I realize, oh, I stopped reading it, then that's where I quit. I'm like, well, obviously I'm not attracted to the rest of the story. So I'm not what's going to happen?
Yeah, you don't care. You don't care at all about it.
That's a good indicator.
You'll have to share some resources with us, like if you've like found a good website or something for learning those kind of things for like the story.
Do you want me to quickly run through them now?
Absolutely.
So my number one resource is a creator and now dear friend of mine, Lauren Kay. So she's on Instagram and TikTok at Lauren Kay Writes, and then has a website that's laurenkaywrites.com. Lauren is so brilliant, so great, and I just really, really love her like as a person, as she's just fantastic. And what's really cool about Lauren is she wants to be like a really trusted resource for writers who are serious about building a career as an author. And so she offers a lot of really great webinars with experts that I have found extremely useful. And then I also hired editors from Lauren's agency. So this cool arm that she has of her business is she will personally reach out and vet developmental and line editors. And and she has all this team of experts. And then you can get matched with an editor who will help coach you and improve your work. Whoa. Yeah. And it was cool. For me, it was like revelatory. It was such a game changer, because the editor that I ended up working with, who reviewed my outline and shaped my outline before I even started writing my story, she is a senior acquisitions editor for a fantasy book imprint at like a really big publisher. And she's been working in this industry for, I think, over 8 years. Like, she's working in it. And I know that my hope is to become traditionally published. And so her feedback was incredibly useful, because she would tell me really point blank, like, where the issues were with my characters or the romantic tension, or if something wasn't clear. And she would also tell me what was working and what I should be doing more of. So anyway, that was like one of the best decisions I've ever made. It helped me get to where I wanted to go, and honestly, probably better and further than I could have taken myself much faster. So that was a huge win.
That's awesome.
As soon as you said it, I had to run to my email, because I was like, I'm pretty sure, and I am, or like subscribed to her newsletter. I was like, I see that name come up. And I read it occasionally on like my lunch breaks and things, the things that come through.
Yeah, she's great.
But as a follow-up to that first question, what can you share with us about your book?
Yeah. So I can share some kind of high-level story things, and then I can also share sort of where I'm at in this process. In my case, I'm looking for an agent. And the process is called querying. And so basically you have the finished book, it has to be finished. And you basically go to agents and be like, please represent me, please help me. And when you query, you write something called a query letter, which is essentially a pitch letter. And it has to be really brief and summarize your story. And one of the things that is necessary in a pitch letter are what are called comps, or comparative titles. And they don't necessarily have to be only books. They can be other mediums. Like, some people will, I don't know, say a Taylor Swift song or whatever. Like, it's to help the agent get an understanding of the overall feel of your story. So I'll tell you, this is mine. And I'll probably mess this up, so we might need to record it a few times. But so my book, it's an adult fantasy with dystopian elements and a strong romantic subplot. And it has the sociopolitical commentary of Blood Over Brighthaven. It has the action and romance of Fourth Wing. It has the morally gray characters of Succession, the HBO show. And then it has the vivid world building of Arcane, which is the animated Netflix series. So,
I'm so excited.
It definitely has more of a dystopian vibe to it, but don't worry. There's magic, there's fae, there's trials. Awesome. But it really is an examination of privilege, and my main character is an adult. She's 32 years old. She's definitely morally gray.
Love that so much.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see. I'm giving myself sort of a certain runway or time period to find an agent. And then if an agent doesn't want to work with me or doesn't like it, then I'll probably self-publish it. And I just want to clarify, self-publishing is like an amazing option, and I don't want it to seem like I'm implying that self-publishing is like a second choice for people. For me personally, I have looked, and self-publishing is like so much work. It's like a whole business, and even choosing the artwork for your covers and all the different editions and hiring the artist for the maps and handling inventory. And then the digital stuff. I just know what my strengths are, and I also know where I would prefer for my time and energy to be going. And I think that self-publishing is incredible, and I love indie authors. So again, I just want to emphasize that I'm not like saying that there's a better choice here, but for me, in an ideal world, I don't want to be dealing with inventory and shipping and stuff like that. Like that's just like not my thing. And merch and stuff. Like I would rather be focusing on writing and then having another team figuring out how to get into bookstores and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes sense to me.
How long have you been in the querying process?
I sent out my first querying letter about 3 weeks ago. So something that's pretty wild is, evidently, after you query, it's like a really, really small percentage chance you're going to hear back. And usually most agents will want your query letter and like your first chapter or your first 10 pages. And then they decide from that if they want to read more.
It's crazy.
That's so intimidating.
Yeah, it's really intimidating. And then if they want to read more, if they request your full manuscript, for example, you send your whole thing over to them as a Word doc.
Oh my gosh.
Which is very intimidating. And then supposedly, and I mean, granted, it really, really depends, but evidently kind of the soonest you can expect to hear back can be 4 weeks if they like it. It can be up to 6 months sometimes. Ooh. And if they don't like it, sometimes you just don't hear anything.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
I hate that.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
So you're in the thick of it right now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am. That's I have had some full requests, though, which is really cool. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, it's like I sent it and then I looked over the Word doc. And I was like, I've read this book hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a typo on page 11 that I never noticed. No! Like, of course there is. Like, it's you just stop seeing it after a while. Yes. And I was like, whatever. If this one word choice is going to screw me over, then like, I give up. I surrender. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm always the one that will like send the email and be like, attached here is blah blah blah, and then I forget to attach it. Then then you have to send the follow up and be like, just kidding. This would help.
Totally. I know. I really rely on like the Gmail prompt to be like, attachment not found. It's like, yeah, I know. Thank you.
Well, there's no attachment.
What did we do before that?
And that's the kind of suspense you can expect in my book. Here's the attachment.
Exactly.
All right. Well, if you could give one piece of advice to early days Book Huddle Lauren, what would it be?
I don't know if I would give early days Lauren advice as much as just saying good job. I'm really hard on myself, and I always have been. And I have always am the type of person to see what's not working or what I need to do better. And I think there were so many amazing things happening, and it all was moving so quickly that I didn't really take a second to stop and absorb how cool it was that I was able to change careers without even planning it and do something that I never, ever thought was even within the realm of possibility of me doing. Yeah, I would have just said, good job. I certainly wasn't saying it to myself at the time, which is really sad, honestly.
Yeah. It's so hard when you are like a driven, when you're so focused on like the next goal, and you're, that's how you get things done and that's how you grow. But then it's so hard to like stop and celebrate. It's so tough, but I just love that.
Yeah.
Early days, Lauren.
Early days, Lauren needed to freaking take an afternoon off and like go have a nap or something, you know,
touch grass, give her a hug.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also relatable.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you see that now. So if you're still acting that way, tomorrow, take a nap. Go there outside. Enjoy your afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put a little sticky note on your nightstand that says good job. So when you wake up.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cute. Well, I just think it's like, it's, I don't know about all of you, but I feel like sometimes being nice to yourself can be really challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least that's what I find. So
I agree.
Yeah. And I think also just from a more practical standpoint, I would have said one of my friend's advice like much earlier to myself. Like I wish I could have like called Victoria and like, you know, sent that message back in time to early days Lauren, which is not all opinions are equal.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
that's good.
I would say 99.9% of the comments that I get in this community are amazing. When people come with like ideas, they always have good intentions. Like it's great, but all advice and all ideas are like autobiographical. They're all coming from someone else's own experience, but like,
yeah,
like I have to do what feels right for me, and not everyone's like advice or feedback is, it doesn't carry the same weight. Like a friend or a family member gives me feedback on something that, and then, yeah, I'm really going to listen to it. Or someone who's kind of going through something similar, like, yeah, I'll listen to it. But you don't have to stop everything and bend to every single request if it's not really aligned with the direction that you want to take things. And like, that's okay. And sometimes if you're a people pleaser, that can be a difficult thing to accept, is that you can't make everyone happy. So, yeah.
Yeah. Lauren and I have had several conversations over the course of like starting, you know, the social media accounts and the podcast, where we're like, no, you know what? This is our business. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
We have to like remind ourselves like that.
I know.
We are making the decisions and pushing it in a direction that, you know, we want it to go. And yeah, not every comment aligns with that. That's so true.
Yeah. You're the bosses. Like you get to decide.
And our bosses are crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I often find myself, I'll be like, my house, my rules, my house, my rules. That's like my mantra I say to myself. And I don't know if sometimes I'll get like some pretty mean comments, and it's like, I could get 10,000 nice ones, but it's the mean one that like really sticks with you, which is so sad. I've just decided that I give one warning about being respectful and being kind. And then if they can't do that, then sorry, you're blocked. Like you're kicked out of my house because you didn't follow my rules. Like it's that simple. So,
Yeah. So back to books.
Yeah.
So I know you've mentioned that you have always been an avid reader and really loved reading. Have there been any specific books or series that either reignited your love for a certain genre or acted as a gateway into new genres for you?
I've always loved reading, and there was a period of time where I felt compelled to read, and again in air quotes, serious books, or books that would improve who I am, like the type of person I am as a human being. So there was a while where I was only reading like self-help and business books, and those are great. There's a lot to learn from them. A lot have had a really profound impact on me. But when I picked up A Court of Thorns and Roses, I was reminded of that magical joy that comes from reading. And it really reignited my love for fantasy in particular. When I was in fourth grade, I was obsessed with The Hobbit. And I did like a presentation to my class with like a book report urging everyone to read this frickin' gigantic fantasy book.
You've been a book influencer since you were nine.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically. And so it really felt like I feel like through ACOTAR, I was really able to tap into a part of myself that I had lost, which maybe is a little cheesy to say, but I really do feel it. I don't know. I mean, we're all fans of Sarah J. Maas books here, so I feel like we all kind of get it.
This is a safe space.
Yeah, that for me really kicked things off. And I would say Air Awakens by Elise Kova is another close second that like really, I think I actually might have read Air Awakens before ACOTAR actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I haven't read that.
Yeah, it's a great series. It's complete, and it's 5 books, and then there's a Next Generation series that's another 5 okay. books that's just as strong. Ooh. But I would say it's kind of like if Harry Potter had elemental magic and was in the world of like Zelda Ocarina of Time. That's kind of Whoa. The vibe, I would Ooh. Say. And it's great. I loved it. So that's that one really, really kind of kickstarted my fantasy obsession again.
You just hardcore sold John on that book.
Yeah. Yep. It's great. Huh? It's great.
That yeah. will be downloaded tonight.
It's really good. I think it might be on Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, even better.
Even better.
Even better. It is. It's always fun, like, hearing people talk about the book that got them back into reading, or, you know, their gateway into the fantasy genre. Because for a lot of people, it is A Court of Thorns and Roses. And it's just so funny that a lot of it happened around the same time span. Like, we're all sort of, there's been this whole awakening of adults reading yes. fantasy. And it's just, it's the best. It's
what so was fun. It for each of you?
Well, Taylor Jenkins Reid was the first author that like really I binged all of her books immediately. I loved her writing so much. And then within a month or two, I had started reading A Court of Thorns and Roses, and I was like, fantasy, okay. And then so I made good. Lauren read it, and then it spiraled, and now we're here.
Yeah, love it.
I was an avid reader in high school, and I am a very big Twilight girly. Hard stan. Hunger Games, Divergent. Like, I lived that whole era. The uh-huh. merch, the movies, everything.
The so, magic.
All of it, yes. I lived that life. And then did the whole, you know, go to college, live life for a little bit, leave books. And it was during COVID that I'm just home alone with my newborn. Kyle had to work. He was an essential worker. And just started reading. And I kind of picked up those books again and started kind of branching in dystopian specifically, because that was kind of the realm I was comfortable in. And then Khan suggested ACOTAR, and here we are. So
yeah, the rest is history.
Yes, yes it is. Yep.
I too was like a fan of the classics, you could say, growing up. Like, I read a lot of Jane Austen and The Chronicles of Narnia, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, all that. Despero the Mouse, I guess, when I was really young. But yeah, Phantom Tollbooth is one of my all-time faves. In college, I read The Martian because the movie was coming out, and that's probably yeah. like the biggest book I had mm-hmm. read in like a huge gap from high school to college, because I took a few years off. And then the book club started. Lauren had me read Powerless with them yep. during one of their oh, book yeah. club months, and that got me into sort of the romantasy side of things. But right now, my real obsession is Dungeon Crawler, Carl, and that whole yes, series.
Mom. I'm sitting back
there. Diving so deep into that
so
one.
So good. Kyle, have you read Project Hail Mary?
I've had it recommended to me actually from a movie theater worker who was reading it recently when we went to see another movie, but I plan to, because it's by the same author. I'm familiar with their work, and the movie is either coming out or is out already, so yeah, I do plan yeah. to.
Okay, good. It's my favorite.
I bought the audiobook.
Yeah.
Because of your recommendation, I have it on Audible right now.
Good. People are probably so sick of me. I will find any excuse to bring up Project Hail Mary. As I like, Kyle, thank you, because yeah. you really, really teed me up for that one. That was yeah. great.
I saw, I think, the trailer for it, and then it said the author's name. Was like, oh, that's The Martian. Yeah, I gotta read it. So it's been planned for a while, but I've got a few other ones I'm getting through first. So
yeah, amazing.
I feel like for me, it was some stepping stones through my life. And I'm trying to think of when exactly I read the Harry Potter series, but like one of the first kind of fantasy related books or series that I remember reading was in high school. It was a couple of the Shannara Chronicles. I even forget who that's by. Terry somebody. But then it was kind of like this, what Lauren said, like college, you're like reading the Greek classics for 2 years. And then, when I was like living really close by to a library, and that's when I found the Terry Goodkind series, Sword of Truth, which I still haven't read like every single one of those books, because there was like 17 of them, but that blew my mind, like how good those books were. And then most recently was like, you know, ACOTAR and Throne of Glass. And then we're, you know, you're starting to get into the Massverse and all these most recent books that have been really popular the last like couple of years. So
I love it. I also love how Khan and Lauren, you encourage John and Kyle to read these mm-hmm. books. Like, I feel like there's this really, really unfair and kind of sexist notion that romanticy books are only for women and yes. therefore not as good or not taken as seriously as traditional fantasy books. Mm-hmm. I wanted like traditional.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, romantasy books today are freaking incredible. And just because they have a strong romance plot line doesn't mean that they lack in world building or magic systems or politics mm-hmm. by any means.
Right.
And I just love that you all are talking about it publicly. And Kyle and John, thank you for leading by example. Maybe you can convince my partner to read these books. Although Ooh. I feel like I've ruined everything for him because he knows all the plot lines. Like I've told him everything, oh, yeah. everything, everything that happens in Fourth Wing and like uh-huh. all the way through Onyx Storm. He knows every storyline in ACOTAR and Throne. Like even if he does pick up the books, like every twist has been ruined because of uh-huh. me. So I kind of gave up because...
If it helps, before John started reading these books, I was reading Crescent City on my own, like completely going in blind. Like we were not on Bookstagram or anything mm-hmm. at that point. I just was like, oh, I loved ACOTAR. Let me pick up this one. I finished Crescent City 2 while I was sitting next to John and I was shouting. I told him everything that was happening and like explained all of it, thinking he would never read these books. And then like a mm-hmm. year later, he was reading them. And I was like, oh, please, 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 please don't remember anything that I told you. And he forgot yeah. all
you
of
forgot.
It. Like he was so shocked.
He
yeah.
didn't remember anything.
Oh, John, that's Same. Such a blessing. That's I know. Great.
Yeah. Wow. I know, I was
the
so
hardest
nervous.
Part about reading with Kyle yeah. is like having to stop sharing stuff because like yeah. even now I'll read a book that I have no idea if he's gonna read, but mm-hmm. I maybe we yeah. will, like it the world happen. Is open to that now yeah. and so yeah. it's like it really sucks because I don't get to just yep. like run out of my room and being like, you will not believe what just happened in this book to people you don't even know. Instead I just yeah. gotta hold it all in.
But she'll have to come out and be like, you tell me you're 100% never gonna read this, right? And I'm like, yeah, just go ahead and give me the whole thing, like. But she read, she like her, one of her favorites, if not her favorite still, is the Empyrean series. And I remember getting the rundown coming home from work. She'd come home and be like, oh my gosh, you won't guess what he did to her this time. And then when I read the books, I was like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember something like uh-huh. that. But
yeah. Hint, it involves a throne. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Oh, those books are so oh, yeah. good. They're so amazing.
They
were
good. I am yeah. so good.
I can't wait for the fourth book. Whenever it comes out, I hope Rebecca Yarros takes as much time as she needs. But uh-huh. my God, I am excited for it.
Yeah. And that may have helped you because of like it can be read by anyone. Like you said, it's not mm-hmm. just for women or whatever, but like the stories that she did come to me with were mostly about the romance. So I did somewhat remember, you know, like, oh, I recognize this name. But the battles that I read, yeah. I was like, whoa,
yeah.
it's getting pretty intense. Why didn't you tell me about this part?
No, the military strategy. There's a yeah. lot happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Court politics.
But you're right. Yeah, the romance and everything is good in that whole series. It's good.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Well, since, I mean, we're already talking book recs, but since you are essentially everyone's queen of book recs, we would love to spend some time talking with you about your favorite reads across different genres, the ones you couldn't put down, ones you can't stop thinking about, or hope that people would consider picking up.
Okay, great. Why don't we start with fantasy? Yeah. And then as we progressively make our way through the list, then I can introduce some wild cards. Wild card titles.
Like
we'll see what your audience thinks. Okay, so I really, really enjoyed the book Direbound by Sable Sorensen.
Lauren just read that.
What did you think, Lauren?
It's right here sitting next to me.
Oh, she's so proud.
What did you think?
I love this book. 5 huge stars. Yeah. I loved it.
It's a
good.
Great book. And yes. and so it's presented and pitched as Fourth Wing with direwolves, but I feel like that is kind of doing the story a disservice because it
so
starts
too.
Off that way and then it completely goes in its own direction. Like it's very much its own story. And I know some people have been kind of put off because they'll expect something really, really similar, but I think it goes in a different direction and that's great. It really finds its own way. So love that one.
Question on that then. Okay, yeah. A little follow-up. Mm-hmm. So for somebody who is a big fan of Ethan Hallstrom, like that book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well,
City.
Yeah. So I would say that atmospherically, it's very much like Fourth Wing in the sense that it's gritty and it's kind of, it's actually kind of like Quicksilver, like there's snow on the ground and stuff like that. And it feels a bit more medieval than like cosmopolitan, I would say. Yeah. Is that what I would describe Crescent City? I'm not sure. But there are male main characters that have some Ethan energy to them that I would say in this, in Direbound. There's a few of them.
Okay, cool. Cool.
It's also very spicy if people are looking for that.
Nice.
I don't personally.
Lots of action.
And very action. Yes, that's a really, really good point.
Double action.
Double action. Yeah. There's action of, in a few different ways. I would say like something about me that maybe is a good disclaimer before I get into my other recommendations. I don't necessarily pick up books because they have spice. Like that's not what I'm seeking. I really care about the story and the setting and the characters and the world building. And if spice helps me better understand the characters or if it moves the story forward, fantastic. But it's not something that I'm like actively seeking or making decisions based on. It's just kind of like a little bonus. So I know there's some people
book
out
with
there.
Benefits.
Yeah, exactly. John, you're clever. I can't keep up with you. Keep that up. That's great. Making what I'm saying much more interesting. But yeah, I know some people will specifically ask, does it have spice? And I believe that if it doesn't have spice, that's okay, because sometimes romantic yearning and other things can be like gratifying in their own way. So
love a good yearn.
Yes. In line with that, I guess a follow-up to that follow-up answer, do you have, when people are like, no, I need spice, do you have like a spice book, like Dune?
I'll quickly list them off. So I think Direbound is actually a really good, for people who are looking for spice, Direbound's great. Like it's pretty explicit, I would say. Like there's some things where I was like, I have not read that before in my life, and I didn't know that was anatomically happening.
Is that like an Omegaverse book technically?
No, it's not. And okay. I have a confession to make. I haven't read an Omegaverse book before because I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this on the podcast.
Yes.
Nodding. The concept of nodding.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Really freaks me out. Like it makes, I googled what it was before.
Yep.
And
so did I.
No, in Direbound, the humans are humans and the direwolves are direwolves.
Okay.
They're not the same.
Okay. Yeah.
It's more maybe Fourth Wing because they like bond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
bond a wolf. Gotcha. Okay. They aren't the wolf.
Sure.
The
interspecies.
No. Yeah. No. There's okay. not. Makes and sense. Again, I don't want to like, if someone likes that, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, there was like a delicata squash was brought up as like an analogy for it. And I was like, I'm done. Like I'm out. I'm not good. Opening this door.
That's such a good analogy though.
I can't. I was like, I'm out. John That's says. Not like I like to the point where like I avoid the squash section in grocery stores still. Because I'm like, I can't.
Wow.
The Omegaverse is not for me, unfortunately.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so The Witch Collector by Charissa Weeks is also a great spicy romance-y series. Okay. It is just a very cool premise. Just in general, there's someone named The Witch Collector who comes to a village every year, I believe. It's been a little while since I've read it, and to take a witch with him, and the witch is never heard of or heard from again. And our main character, Raina, is wanting to get revenge on the witch collector who took her sister, and she hasn't seen her sister again. And Raina is nonverbal, which I think is really cool for a female main character. I haven't read that before, and she speaks in sign. It's really, really awesome. And also, the witches have these like physical markings that say what powers they have on their bodies that are almost like tattoos that glow. It's really cool. And book 3 in The Witch Collector is the spiciest book I've ever read in my entire life. It went from 0 to 100 really quick. And I was like,
Lauren's over there like,
yeah.
Like adding to TBR.
Writing it down.
I would be very interested to hear your thoughts. Like, I don't want you to be like that. that was not spicy. Wow, Laura makes the worst recommendations ever. I don't know, but for me personally, I was like, this is wild. What is happening? There are so many like anatomical limbs. Things going on. I don't understand, but like, I really, it's overall great series. Like, it's much bigger than the spice.
Yeah. So. Did you listen to the audiobook for those?
No, I didn't.
I, now that you've said that the FMC was nonverbal, I do remember someone recently that I knew was listening to the audiobook, and I remember her saying that she really appreciated the, I don't know exactly what it was, but something about the way the narrator conveyed the main character's like inner monologue and the way that they sign. I don't remember exactly what the quality of it was, but that it was really well done and like very cool.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's amazing. I should check that out. And then I've got one other spicy romanticy recommendation that I would say is like a 3 chili pepper, I think.
Okay.
Out of 5? I don't know. I haven't know. Look, like if this is 3, like I don't know what a 5 must be absolutely bonkers. Like I have no idea what it is. I would just say this is a 3, but like take it or leave it. I don't know. I have no idea. Phantasma by Kaylee Smith is great.
I have it on really the shelf, but I haven't read it.
Well, what's cool about Phantasma is that the book actually operates as a standalone, but then the sequel is within the same universe. So it's great to read them chronologically, but ultimately there is a satisfying ending and it feels like the story's done. So you aren't waiting in cliffhanger purgatory like all the other ones out there.
That's
so,
good. Cool. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a really cool one. And just the vibes are very interesting. It's great. Yeah.
Nice.
Sweet. Cool.
I was going to ask if I could personalize a recommendation, because I've just finished what is currently out with Dungeon Crawler Carl, and I'm sort of wanting that same sort of vibe, but I know, like, hear a lot of people saying, like, Dungeon Crawler Carl is the one that they recommend, so.
Kyle?
Yes.
Say no more. I have the answer. And this is, I want to preface that, in my opinion, Project Hail Mary must be next for you, but that's not what I'm about to say.
Gotcha.
But that needs to be your top priority. So just in case you want
to drop everything.
Like this episode, right? Your children do not need breakfast tomorrow. Nothing else matters.
Lock myself in my room.
Nothing else matters. But The Devils by Joe Abercrombie. Ooh. Unreal. Okay. Unreal. It was one of my favorite books this year. And I think the reason it was my favorite was because it was everything that I thought it wouldn't be, in the sense that I expected it to be a super serious, hard to follow, dense fantasy book. True. But instead, it's laugh out loud funny. And it's in this alternate medieval Europe timeline that has elves and magical beings. Ooh. And it follows this group of misfits that are on a quest. And the misfits include like a werewolf, a vampire, a guy who doesn't die, a priest, a thief. And the characters are so outrageous. Yeah. And they're it's so funny. It's like really, really great. And it's a different sense of humor than Dungeon Crawler Carl, but I have a feeling, Kyle, that you are going to love this book. And on top of it, it's written really beautifully. Like, every word that's in that book is chosen with such intention. And I loved it. I cackled. I thought it was so good. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. 5 stars. It. Yeah.
I love me a group of misfits.
Yeah. It's great. Like, and as soon as I like chuckled at the bottom of page one and I was like, oh, that was weird. Like, I don't do that in books. What's going on? And then I got to page 3 and I was like suppressing laughter and I was like, what is happening? And then I realized, oh, this book's funny. And then I laughed the whole way through when it was done. So
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
A few others that I think are great that I wish were more popular than they are. The God and the Gumiho by Sophie Kim. Yeah. Have you read this? Okay.
What a title.
No, but I've heard you talk about it and it is on my TBR because of that. And I feel like that's probably all the books that you'll mention. I'll be like, oh yeah. No, I haven't read it yet.
You're so sweet. So The God in the Gumiho is fantastic because it's based on Korean mythology, and it's in this kind of like magical city that's inspired by Seoul, and it's really, really cool because it's kind of based in the 90s almost. So it's sort of, it sort of scratches that Crescent City itch, but it's in a completely different culture, and it's so, so great. And basically it's kind of like following this fantastical murder investigation, and it's also like a cat and mouse chase, kind of in the similar way that Heartless Hunter is, where there's like undeniable chemistry between the two love interests who shouldn't like each other, who are on opposite sides of this like investigation that they're following, but have this like really, really epic banter and like chemistry that you could cut with a knife. So it's just, it's fantastic. It moves so quickly, and the dialogue is top tier. It's written so well. And I really, really love reading fantasy books that are inspired by cultures that I'm less familiar with. Yeah. Also, just because the fantasy books, unfortunately, that often get the most marketing dollars today and that really take off are really like written by and for often, like, I'm saying this in the air quotes, like westernized and or white audiences. Yeah. And I just love learning about other parts of the world and other cultures through fantasy books. And this one was just amazing.
That's so cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Really good. Can you Perfect. Do, go for it. Do
yeah, more? That's great.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
All of them.
Okay.
all night.
So there's a book that I'm completely obsessed with that I would strongly encourage each and every one of you to read. That's how strong, this isn't a personalized recommendation. This is a universal recommendation for you four and for every single listener on this call. The Raven Scholar by Antonia Hodgson.
Okay.
It's so good. It's by the same publisher that put out The Night and the Moth by Rachel Gillig.
Say less.
Yeah, like their standards are really high. That's all we need to know. And cool. It's, what I loved about The Raven Scholar is that its world building is so epic in scope, but there's also, again, very, very funny moments of dialogue between the characters. And it's kind of like if a Game of Thrones had really amazing, complex female characters and a murder investigation and a trial. So it's really cool in the sense that there's like generations worth of drama and kind of like inter-court politics. And in this world, it's fascinating because there are 8 animal gods, essentially, and people choose which god they want to worship based on what their personality is drawn to. So the foxes are like clever and mischievous and kind of untrustworthy. The bears are like gruff warriors. The tigers are very like physical and kind of almost like spies in a way. It's and the dragons are really secretive and no one knows anything about them other than they're super magical. Yeah. And so there's this trial where one representative from each of these 8 groups competes, and the winner will be the next emperor. And it's so good. And it really, really surprised me. Some of the twists made me feel sick to my stomach, which like a physical reaction is like always a good thing. Even if, you know, you feel like you're going to yak, it's great. but it was so, so great. And I read it so quickly because I couldn't put it down. And it's a huge book, but I loved it. And so for anyone who really appreciates the world building of Throne of Glass, you must read this book. It's really, really good.
Ooh. Yeah. I love a good, like I feel like I'm always on God's watch now. And I love when fantasy books like really heavily incorporate the gods, like, because every author just approaches it so differently. And I love keeping an eye on those and seeing them like interact a bit more in the story. It's so cool.
Yeah, Con, you're gonna freak out. It is it's unreal. Sold. It's unreal. And there's also a great romance storyline that's part of it too.
Okay, now I'm sold.
Literally, yeah. Something for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one's great. And then the last one that I'll recommend, since you're probably like, get off, like, get out of here, please.
Keep talking.
We really are fine.
you're like, this is the last time we're having a guest on this podcast. That's going to go down with me.
No, we're going to make you keep coming back. That's what's going to happen.
like, be careful what you wish for. We're going to be rambling till 2 a.m. So the final recommendation I'll make is a standalone historic fantasy book. It's so good. It just came out. It's called The Moor Witch by Jessica Corey. I loved it, obviously, because I'm talking about it right now. But like, I really loved it, like capital L loved. And it's about this witch who made a deal with a fae many years ago. And in this bargain, he can call for a favor whenever he wants. And now that she's in her early 20s or whatever, he asks for this favor, and it's a really big one. I won't say what it is, but it's great because the magic system is so unique. I've never come across anything like this before. And it's basically like the game Cat's Cradle, where you have the threads that you like weave in your fingers to make knots and stuff. But in this, the knots actually create a magical spell or an enchantment. And so it's really cool because she'll do knots like through her with her fingers and put them and make them with her hands. But she'll also tie knots on the inside of her coat, so it's always warm. Or she'll tie, she'll put knots like in someone's, like the bottom of someone's pants, so that they like stay stuck where they are. Like, it's so interesting. The possibilities and the creativity with the magic system is really great. I think it's the best magic system.
Kind of knotting.
Yes, much better kind of that. Now this knotting I can get behind. This is knotting that I like. Yeah, the other kind, not so much. That's not for me. But this kind, if there's thread involved, I'm all for it.
Oh my gosh.
But it's really, really great because it's got witches, it has fae, it's got a beautiful historic Outlander like feel to the setting. There's a like a grouchy love interest named Conrad. And I was reading this book at the same time that the finale for The Summer I Turned Pretty was out. Yeah. And I was like, there are so many Conrads in my brain right now. Like, I think this is too much. But now that that show's over, I feel like there's definitely space for this Conrad. Yes. So anyway,
I love that. It was a really fun fact. That was my nickname in high school because my maiden name was Adkins. It was Connor Adkins. So people would shorten it to Conrad.
Oh, I love that. Oh. I love that. Yeah.
Well, so now that you finished the series and that book, then now there's space for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, nice. Now you're back in here. Oh my gosh. I love it.
Wow. Full circle.
So yeah, those are my main recommendations. But I mean, I could go on forever, honestly. So
that's what you do. You do all the book recs, and you're so good at it too. And I really appreciate you sharing with us and just taking the time to hang out with us tonight.
So good.
Thank you. That is really sweet of you to say. Thank you.
But like, actually though,
thank you, I appreciate that.
I do have a question. I read mostly fantasy and romance, but I do love like to take a break from those every once in a while and do things that are maybe not even outside of my comfort zone, because I'm really open to reading anything. But I love like doing a little like mystery or psychological thriller or something that's like way out of the box. Do you have anything that comes to mind for that?
Yes, but let me just quickly look at my list. Sometimes like, I don't know if any of you find this, when people are like, what are you reading? I'm like, I don't know what day it is. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, let me pull up my Goodreads. I have no freaking clue. So let me just pull it up 1 second.
Yep. The fact that you've remembered as many details of the books that you've talked about tonight.
I know. I'm so impressed.
Well, I didn't. I had notes. I was looking at them. Yeah.
And like the character names. Sometimes it's like, I can remember everything so vividly, but I cannot remember that person's name.
Yeah.
It's like, those are the things that
I can definitely relate. I think even today at work, it took me a solid 15 seconds to say how old I was when one of my coworkers asked. I was hold on, I gotta do math.
Yeah, I have no idea. No idea. Okay, let's see. Okay, before I get to mystery, thriller, romance recommendations, have you ever read The Spell Shop?
No, but I wanted to read it this month because it's also the FFG book club pick. And I was like, this is the month. I'm finally going to read it, but I haven't started it yet.
Con, it's outstanding. It's really good. Okay. It's really, really good. So funny, so charming, but it doesn't lack depth. And I feel like there's a very common misconception about cozy fantasy.
Yes.
That cozy fantasy equals simple and it equals surface level. And it's false. It's false. It's at least with Sarah Beth Durst books, it's false because a lot of her characters are going through hard things, but it's the aftermath of the hard things. It's not, you're not experiencing the traumas with them in the moment. Yeah. And it's so good. It's amazing.
Ooh, okay. Because I love The House in the Cerulean Sea. And I hear those lumped together oftentimes, like just within that cozy fantasy category. And I would definitely agree that The House in the Cerulean Sea is not like, it definitely does not lack depth. There's some really amazing development and messages in that book as well.
Yes.
So, okay. All right.
If you loved The House in the Cerulean Sea, I can pretty much guarantee you will love The Spell Shop. Like
amazing.
Like it's great. Okay, let's see here. When is a good mystery? All of the mysteries and thrillers I read are so depressing.
That's okay.
Really?
I love a depressing book.
They're so bummer.
But
like they're good. They're really good.
If it helps, some of my favorite like movies and stuff are the ones that don't have a happy ending. Like they're not necessarily the ones that go the way that you expect them to.
La La Land. Or
La La Land, 500 Days of Summer. The kind that are like they're so good and there are some really funny moments, but they're also like really sad. I love stuff like that.
Okay. Then my recommendation is clear. I know what I have to recommend for you. It's not a mystery.
Okay.
But I can pull up some of those if you want.
Okay.
This is one of the best books I've ever read in my life, and I just read it a few weeks ago. This is hot off the presses.
I'm intrigued.
Oppressive one, which is me. Oh my God. It's The Correspondent by Virginia Evans.
Okay.
And this book is not something I would normally have picked up because it's an epistolary style book, which means that it's all written letters. It's like all letters. Correspondence. Okay. And normally I'd be like, no narrator. Like, what? Like, I don't want to read letters. I get enough emails every day. I don't want more messages. Like, what?
Okay.
Just, like, you'll get used to it in the same way that you get used to Daisy Jones and the Six being dialogue-driven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And I loved that book.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Then I really feel like you'll love The Correspondent. It follows this woman in her 70s who really makes sense of the world through the letters she sends. So it follows her updates to her best friend. It follows the email she gets from her daughter. It follows her own emails to like customer service agents. It's so incredible. And it's really a book about what it is to be human and grief and just our sense of purpose in this world. It's beautiful, but it's also really funny. So there were also moments in that one where I was laughing out loud, like uncontrollably, but then I was also sobbing at parts. Like it was very, very beautiful. And I'm not really a big crier. Like I mean, unless it's Kingdom of Ash, like I'm pretty stoic. I cry on the inside, but this one really moved me to tears because it was just so beautiful and I loved it.
Ooh, that's what I want. Okay, yes. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's great. A lot of people really liked the audiobook for that one in my book club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So I am mostly an audio reader. Yeah.
Because sometimes a book where it's like emails or text back and forth, the audio can get kind of obnoxious because it will be like the time sent, the person it was from, the person it is to,
the full email address,
this title, like I mean,
people really liked the audiobook for this one, but I'm glad that I read this one with my eyes because you actually learn a lot about the characters through the writing nuances that they have and also through details of their email addresses. So, for example, the first email that we see from this main character's daughter is from, it's like @cmearchitects.com email address. So I'm like, oh, the daughter's an architect. Like, what a great way to learn that about her. It's never really addressed later on, but it just helped me understand what this person's mindset was. Then in another letter she gets a letter from someone who misspells the placement of I and E in a word, so he puts instead of like I after E, he mixes them up. And then in her returning letter, she's like, you need to watch this spelling error because you do it a lot. And I feel like that wouldn't really come through in in audiobook form, but it was very amusing to read. So anyway.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
All right. Well, amazing. Love it. All the recs, all the stuff. Thank you for taking the time to share your story and favorite reads with us, Lauren. Before you go, we'd love to know, which new books or arcs are you most looking forward to reading next?
Oh, boy. Next. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, one book that I'm really excited to read is Brimstone by Callie Hart.
Yeah.
But I didn't get an arc for it. I don't think anyone in the world got one.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anyone getting it.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that one. I'm really excited to listen to your podcast about it because I don't remember a freaking thing about Quicksilver and I'm running out of time. So that one I'm really excited about. And I'm also very excited to read Good Spirits by B.K. Borison. I think it's already out, right? It just came out
last week, I think.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that one. There's also this book that it's great because look how pretty that is. Oh my gosh.
I just love them. So good.
And for the listener, Khan is holding up a really beautiful book cover. that's all you need to know.
This is the Target edition of edges. Good Spirits. Yeah.
Wow.
We're looking at red cover, some blue and sprayed red, edges.
There's a mustache guy kissing a blonde girl. Looks great.
Need we say more?
And then I would say one that I'm excited to read it seems wild is called 200 Monas, and it's coming out in March, and it's by the publishing company Little Brown. So one of the really, really awesome things about our reading retreats is I will work with publishers to create these awesome gift bags for our attendees, and they'll usually include anywhere from 6 to 8 physical books, and a lot of them aren't out yet, and they're kind of awesome, like buzzing titles from the publishers. We'll also send digital galleys of books that aren't out yet that they can get on NetGalley. It's really, really fun to organize. And, you know, I basically send from my inbox, I'm like, what books are you most excited about? Like, could you share them with our group? Blah, blah, blah. And it usually works out really well. I always joke that my outbox is the thirstiest place on planet Earth. It's like really pathetic, honestly, but sometimes it works out really well.
It's like, you're so shoot desperate. Your shot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing it. I'm doing my best. Oh my gosh. But like, it's like, if I die, I hope that my inbox and my email is shuttered immediately because people would be like so sad. It would be really, really pathetic to see what it looks like.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, so 200 Monas is like the big book of Little Brown's. Like, it's a debut author, I believe, and it's about a woman who's grieving the passing of her mother and then comes across this stash of these 200 pills. And she thinks it's like but it turns out it's this like crazy sex drug. And she has like 48 hours to sell it before like this group of people come after her for it. It's supposed to be absolutely wild. And wow. I'm really, really excited about it because a lot of the huddlers at the main retreats that we just had started reading this book, and many of them finished it over the entire weekend and couldn't put it down and said it was like the most wild and weird and outrageous thing ever. And the rights have been also optioned, so it's going to be turned into a movie, I believe. So it's like really, really buzzing, and I'm excited to read that one and get out of my comfort zone a little bit. Yeah. So
you said that's cool. March,
yeah, and it's called 200 Monas.
That is definitely a memorable title.
Yeah. I'm
assuming zero spice, right? In a book about selling sex pills, probably nothing going on.
I don't know how many chili peppers there are going to be, but I will keep you all updated, I guess. Maybe I'll finally be reading a 5 chili pepper book. I don't know. It's like maybe
200.
200 chili peppers. 200 chili peppers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Well, for our listeners, if you're not already following Lauren, this is your moment. Lauren, where could people follow you, stay up to date on all things Book Huddle and author Lauren Moore?
Oh, well, thank you. So I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, but honestly, like,
I post on Threads like once a month when I'm inspired. So out of all those, I would say put that at the bottom of your list. But, so it's Book Cuddle. And then if you would like to get updates on my publishing journey and, you know, whenever my book comes out in 30 years or whatever, you can follow Lauren Moore Author on Instagram. And I do have a weekly newsletter too, where I'll share book recommendations and, you know, audiobooks that I really like and things like that. And you can sign up for that on my website, which is bookhuddle.com.
Yes, highly recommend. I love your newsletter. I don't read a lot of newsletters, but I always open yours and read them. They're so good.
God, that is really nice. Thank you. I really appreciate
thank
that.
You. Thank you. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. We are huge fans of you and appreciate all the work you do to lift up author voices and bring readers together. Thank you so much.
Right back at you. Thank you so much for having me. This was amazing. I would love to come back if you'll have me. So
yes, absolutely. How's
tomorrow?
Next week?
Oh. We really did love hearing from you. We can't wait to see all these big plans of yours unfold and just watch from the sidelines. And hopefully talk to you again in the future.
Yes. The best of luck with querying.
Thank you. God, I hope it ends soon.
Yeah, we
help me out of my
you.
Misery.
Yes.
Thank you all so amazing. Much. Have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you. You too.
See ya.
Huge thank you to Lauren for taking some time to chat with us. That was such a delight. Make sure you follow her online at Book Huddle to keep up with all the amazing things that she has going on.
Yes, and this officially concludes all of our preparation for Brimstone. So next week, we four will be diving into our first chapter section. We can't wait to get back into the Fae and Alchemy series by Kelly Hart with all y'all.
And if you need a little more prep time, no worries, we have you covered. You can check out all of our Quicksilver episodes, our Brimstone theories, and our Quicksilver recap episodes wherever you stream podcasts or on YouTube.
Until next time, stay wordy, stay nerdy, don't stress, and stay blessed.
Bye-bye now.
Stay blessed.
And long.
Stay long.
Stay long. Stay long, brother.
What?
Stay long and strong, buddy.
Oh, my God.
That's... I would admit, long and strong, that's what I always say.
Always.
Always.